أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
من
من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Our beloved Prophet has said as it is narrated in Al-Mahajjat al-Bayda that whoever exercises patience, sincerity and ikhlas for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his soul, from his heart, and flow over his tongue. And we have been discussing around this hadith since a while, and obviously there is so much to learn. Ikhlas and sincerity has its own darajat and levels, but the bottom line is what our urafa say is removal of the creatures. You remove all the makhluqat, all the creatures from the middle. So there is no room for any creature. So it's just between the Abd and Allah. So if a person reaches that level that he successfully is able to remove the creatures, removal of the creatures, if he crosses the stage of removal of all the creatures from the middle, so nothing other than Allah comes in the middle of him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while doing the ibadat, then he has reached the stage of ikhlas. So the simplest description of ikhlas is removal of creatures in totality. And sidq and truthfulness is defined by the urafa that you do not hold any wazn or qeemat or value to none of your ita'at and obediences. If we still hold any value or wazn or weight for any of our obediences in our mind, then we have yet to reach the level of sidq. We are not ahl sidq and we cannot be counted among the siddiqeen. This is what had happened in the time when Allah commanded the angels to prostrate and do the sajda in front of Adam alayhi salam. Usjudu li Adama. When Allah commanded the angels and also shaitan, who was not part of the angels, instead he was one of the jinns, When Allah commanded them to do the sajda in front of Adam, the angels replied back, you know, at the time when Allah was creating Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, they replied back, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Are you creating in there someone who is going to spread mischief, do mischief and fasad, and shed the blood, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء, whereas we are the ones who do the tasbih and taqdis. So we are busy in your ibadat. In other words, we are the ones who do your ibadat, and we do the tasbih and taqdis of yours. In other words, and you are creating a human being on earth which is going to do, you know, shedding of the blood and spreading fasad. So what the angels were looking, our Urafa say, they were looking at the zahir of the qadiyah, zahir of the situation, ignoring the bawatin and sara'ir of the matter. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was looking at the batin and the sara'ir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the wazn and qeemat of their tasbih and taqdees to be gone from their eyes. So they stop holding any value for their own tasbih and taqdees. Because they, when they say, the angels reply back to Allah, the نَحْنُ نَسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, we glorify your praise and hold you muqaddas and sacred, and your sanctity, that means we consider you to be sanctified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this obviously translates into the fact they are holding wazn and value for their ibadat, and they are ravi and pleased with what they are doing. And this is something Allah dislikes. They have a long way to go. They are not reached at the destination yet. Anyone who hasn't reached the destination doesn't have the right to consider to hold any value for his ibadat. So Allah wanted the angels, for the angels, that the value of their ibadat is removed from their eyes. The wazn of the ibadat is removed from their eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you do not know. So we find that in Islam, obviously, the sajda cannot be done to anyone other than Allah. Even the ruku cannot be done to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sajda was not for Hazrat Adam. Hazrat Adam was the qibla. He was the direction of the ibadat. He was not the person who was worshipped. The person who, the one who was worshipped was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, which the hadith informs us from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, كان لله عبودية وتعظيما وإكراما لنا, that the sajda was for the ubudiyyat and worship of Allah, and ta'zim and ikram and respect and greatness of us, Ahlul Bayt. So the nur of the Prophet Al-Insan Al-Kamil, which is in the perfect sense, is the nur of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, which was carried in the sulb of Hazrat Adam, who are the best worshippers of Allah, and the perfect madhar and madahir and reflections of Allah, all the names of Allah and all the attributes of Allah, that nur was inside Adam. And Allah wanted every angel and shaitan to do sajda in front of the azamat and greatness of that nur, who represents Allah in its totality. None of the angels can even think of becoming like that. So angels didn't know nothing. They learned the very tasbih they are talking about in the ayat of Quran, نَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. The same tasbih and taqdis that they were doing, they learned it from the nur of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. Because the hadith says, سَبَّحْنَا فَصَبَّحَتِ الْمَلَائِكَ. We did the tasbih, and that's how the malaika learned to do the tasbih. So they learned to do the tasbih after learning it from the nur of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. They were like blank slates, not even able to learn to know the tasbih, how to do the tasbih of Allah. So they didn't have the right to hold any value for their ibadat, nor do we have the right to hold any. We are juhal, we humans are jahil, and we don't have the right to hold any value or wazn for our ita'at and obediences. If we want to reach the level of sibq. So this is the difference between, this is the meaning, these are the meanings of ikhlas and sibq. The two great values of Islam. And it's the nur of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, which has been there and which has been doing the supervision role for the whole universe. Remember the story when Mansur al-Dawaniqi la'anatullah alayh, he invited bunch of magicians, Sahara, magicians from Babel of Iraq, which was famous for magic since years and years, actually centuries. And these 70 magicians were invited by Mansur and his darbar, and his plan was to insult Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and his plan was to make Imam alayhi salam embarrassed through the magic of these magicians. So what they did, the Mansur was sitting on his throne and these magicians were there, and each of them, they made some pictures of animals and wild animals and beasts. Each picture was put next to each magician, and when the whole scenario was set, then he sent somebody to bring Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in the darbar. Forcibly, with the ijbar, Imam alayhi salam was brought there, and when he had a look towards the sahireen, towards the magicians and the faces of those animals that were, they made those faces next to them, Imam alayhi salam said to them that, do you know who I am? I'm the Hujjat of Allah who cancelled the magic of your ancestors in the time of Prophet Musa. In other words, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. Obviously, it's the nur of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which was there helping every Prophet of God without exception. Didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam say, "Kuntu ma'a al-anbiya'i sirran wa ma'a rasulillahi jahran"? I was with the prophets of God hiddenly and with Rasulullah openly. So he was the one who was this same nur of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, being the wasatatul fayd, had been helping all the prophets of God without exception. So then Imam alayhi salam commanded those pictures of wild animals that grab each person sitting next to you. And all those pictures got converted into real wild animals immediately as soon as he said, and they ate up those magicians, all of them. 70 magicians were eaten up by those angels, and Mansur al-Dawaniqi got unconscious and fell down from his throne. After a while, when he became conscious and he started to seek apology from the Imam alayhi salam, and he started to beg the Imam to bring those magicians back into life. And Imam alayhi salam said, "Hayhat, hayhat. If those magicians in the time of Fir'aun were brought back, then these magicians, these wild animals will also bring them back. You are never going to see them again." Please say salawat. So we find that we don't have the right to hold any value for our, any wazn for our ibadat. So we find that Allah commands all the angels and Iblis to do the sajda. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. All of them did the sajda except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Quran says that he rejected and he showed arrogance. He did istikbar and he was, he was among the kafir people. So some of the mufassirin say that kana, here the word kana of Arabic is used in the meaning of asbaha. Asbaha min al-kafir. No. Our Urufa say, no, this is not asbaha. This is not the mawrid of asbaha min al-kafirin. Kana min al-kafirin mean he was. He was among the kuffar. Allah through this sajda showed, Allah did the kashf, he showed the reality of the nifaq of Iblis to all those angels who did not realize that this Iblis who was their muallim was a munafiq. So Allah exposed the haqiqat of Iblis through the sajda towards Adam. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what it was, the mawqif of Iblis. Iblis' mawqif was like this. See, I didn't do one sajda. I was commanded to do a sajda. I did not. Adam was commanded not to eat from the fruit of the tree. He ate from the fruit of the tree. So I did one disobedience. Adam did one sin. So we are both similar. That was the mawqif and stance of Iblis. What the thing where he was forgetting is that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was mukhlis towards Allah, whereas Iblis was munafiq. And Adam alayhi salam was one of the awliyaullah and mahbub and beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Iblis was one of the a'da'ullah and enemies of Allah. And this is what he's forgetting, that the behavior towards the awliya is different than the behavior towards the a'da. So we find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha says, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, that ghawa does not mean that he was misled or something and he did some isyan and sin. Our scholars of tafsir have mentioned that the word ghawa means khaba. That means he was deprived from the benefit. Not eating from the fruit of the tree was like mandub. It was like a mustahab thing for him. And he missed out on the sawab that he would have gotten, because that time was not the alamut tashri. The world of the sharia legislature did not start yet. The rules of sharia did not apply yet. He is not in the alamut tashri yet. So it was not wajib on him. It was just mandub. So he just was deprived from a thawab. Adam alayhi salam was created to be sent to the earth. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Isn't it right? Allah has announced in the Holy Quran, so he wants to make a khalifa on the planet earth. And Allah provided the taj of Inna Allah astafa Adama. The taj of istifa and choosing Adam alayhi salam was on the head of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So we are supposed to make ourselves one of the awliyaullah, one of the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. Even our mistakes will be corrected by Allah. If we are one of the awliyaullah. This is what I always say in my speeches, that the prime job of the parents when they're raising their children is to make sure their children fall in the category of awliyaullah. That's the job of the parents, the father primarily. So if you are doing the tarbiyat and the bringing of your child, and you make sure by your efforts and your tarbiyat that your child falls in the category, Islamically, in the category of one of the beloved servants of Allah, awliya Allah, then you did your job. Now then rest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care and take from there. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wastes, never allows His beloved servants to get wasted. He cannot be there on the, you know, to supervising them 24/7, isn't it right? Even if when you are alive, you cannot supervise your kids for 24 hours. It's not going to happen. So, and we can die, anybody can die. So the best guarantee and insurance that you can provide for the tarbiyat of your children is to make sure they fall in the zumra and category of awliya Allah. That's where Allah is going to take care from there onwards. But if we fail to make our children one of the awliya Allah, then we basically didn't do the job right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be part of the beloved servants of Allah. This love concept, when you fall in the beloved of Allah, this love concept goes a long way. Remember the story when Allah Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there in the masjid, and he did the five sajdas, one after the other. Isn't it right? The ashab were present and they asked Rasulullah, why the five sajdas? And Prophet said, I did the first sajda because Jibreel told me that Allah loves Ali alayhi salam. So after getting this news, Prophet did the sajda of Allah. For the reason of the second sajda, he says, Jibreel told that Allah says that He loves Fatima alayhi salam. So Prophet did the second sajda on hearing that news. And then the reason for the third sajda he did, where Jibreel told him that Allah loves Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. Prophet did the third sajda on hearing that news. And then Jibreel told him the reason for the fourth sajda. Jibreel told him that Allah loves those who love them. Prophet did the sajda over the muhibbeen of Ahlul Bayt, muhibbeen of the khamsa, the panstan. Anyone who falls in the category of the lovers of these five, the greatest personalities, a Prophet did the sajda for on hearing the news. Anybody who loves these personalities, Amir al-Mu'mineen and Hazrat Zahra and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then the reason for the fifth sajda is that Jibreel told him Allah loves those who love those who love them. That means the muhibbeen of the muhibbeen of the Ahlul Bayt. So you can see how far the concept of love, the al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah, this is a beautiful concept of Islam. How far the concept will take you, even if you love those who love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, then you are also saved, and you know you are also successful. As long as you are able to maintain the real hubb and love in your qalb till the time of your death. Allahumma ja'al awaqiba umurana khaira. You find so many people are changing sides today. Isn't it right? Very nice and very famous personalities who did so many services. But now you find they are on the sides of the taghut. They are used by the tawaghit. Isn't it right? People in the streets of the kufr are doing tawahurat in the favor of some of the personalities. So nothing of the kufr can serve. Remember the story when Abu Sufyan came to Imam Ali salam at the incident of Saqifa to offer his help. Abu Sufyan helping Amir al-Mu'mineen, does it make sense? Obviously Amir al-Mu'mineen rejected his offer. He knew that nothing of kufr can be in the service of Iman. Those are the people who are that much ahmaq that they still consider that they can get some help from the kufr. They did not understand nothing of the iman of our Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we need to make sure that we fall in the category of awliya Allah by avoiding every kind of zulm. Because if we do the zulm, then we will no longer be one of the beloved servants. Because Allah has already said, Surah Ali Imran, Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah does not love the zalimeen. So if we want to maintain the love of Allah towards us, we need to avoid the zulm in all the forms that Quran talks about. How many forms of zulm are mentioned in the Quran? Several forms of zulm are mentioned in the Quran. And if we fall in any category of zulm, if we perform the zulm in our life, we become mal'oon. Because Quran has also said, "Ala la'natullahi ala al-zalimeen." So the la'nat of Allah is there on the zalimeen. There's no question about that. So we find the first category of zulm, which we need to avoid if we want to remain become one of the awliya Allah and make sure our children become one of the awliya Allah. The first category of zulm that we need to avoid in the light of Quran is taking care of the hudud and limitations of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Quran says, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever violates and transgresses the hudud of Allah. Allah has told us all the hudud, the limitations. Amr and Nahi, do this and don't do that. If my child doesn't know how to abstain from the haram, he does not distinguish between haram and halal yet. Anytime he wants, he can do a haram. That means I failed to teach him the basics of Islam. Isn't it right? So Islam, if we, anyone who violates the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hudud and limitations of Allah, he has done zulm over his own self. We can't do zulm on Allah. Nobody can harm God. We are harming our own selves if we realize, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. This is from Surah At-Talaq. And then Quran says another form of zulm, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those who don't do the tawbah, they are the ones who are zalim. So after our mufassirin say, after doing a sin, if we do not do the tawbah, so we are not ma'soom. We can do na'udhu billah min dhalik, but we can commit a sin. Isn't it right? But if we happen to do a sin, we have to do the tawbah immediately after that. If we don't do the tawbah immediately after that, then basically Surah Al-Hujurat verse 11 considers us as zalimeen. And then also the third category of zulm is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever does not issue the hukum according to what Allah has revealed, they are the ones who are zalim. Whenever we pass judgments, whenever we issue any hukum, it has to be according to the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are passing judgments and issuing any hukum and it is not matching the tanzeel of Allah, the wahi that Allah sent on the qalb of Rasulullah, then we are the ones who are zalim. No one has the right in Islam to issue any hukum other than what has been revealed on the qalb of Rasulullah. Anybody who does that is a zalim. And the destiny of zalimeen is also what we learn from Surah As-Saffat, verse 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ. So in the time of Yahya al-Barmaki, so one person was famous in the community that he makes nice pens. In old days they used to carve the pens from wood, wooden pen. And they brought Yahya al-Barmaki, asked this person to be brought into Darbar. This person was brought into the Darbar of Yahya al-Barmaki, and he asked him to make some pens for him. He made two nice pens, very good, nice pens with wood, and gave the pens. The pens were given to the Hakim, the ruler, Yahya al-Barmaki. And when he turned back and he was exiting the hall of the Darbar, he returned back towards the ruler, and he went straight and took the pens from his hand and broke the two pens and threw it away. And Yahya al-Barmaki said, "What did you do?" He said, "Yeah, when I was getting out of your darbar, as if someone said, a munadi, an announcer, someone said to me, Amata tadhakkar qawla Allah subhanahu, don't you remember the ayat, the call, the statement of Allah, where he says, Ahshurul ladheena zalamu, gather those people who did the zulm and their counterparts and supporters, all of them will be gathered together." In other words, every single person who did any kind of support to a zulm, they will be gathered together with the zalimeen, having same destiny. They will be combined in one category. Any support, you can pick up a safety pin or a paper clip and you put on the table of a zalim. This is enough in Islam for you to be mahshoor, resurrected with the zalim in the day of judgment. If you can imagine a smaller example than this, that's also correct. This is the smallest example that came in my mind. Because there is zero tolerance law against the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. Anybody who messes against the A'da and Tawahid, who are the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, there is a zero tolerance law of Allah. So we find that he said to Yahya al-Barmaki, when I was exiting your darbar, as if someone recited this ayat in my mind. Don't you remember the ayat of Allah? أَحْشُرَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْبَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. So I thought that I made pens for you, and maybe you can write tomorrow something haram, something incorrect with your pen as the hakim and the ruler, and I will be resurrected with you on the day of judgment. And I will face the same destiny of Jahannam like you will face. So that's why I took the pens and broke them. So you are separate and I am separate on the day of judgment. So we find that it's very important that we make our children become awliya Allah. Maintain their love towards Allah. Because on the day of judgment, lots of zaleel and azilla, there are lots of zaleel and insulted people will become aziz and muazzaz and respected and honorable on the day of judgment. And lots of muazzaz and aziz and respectable people of this world will become zaleel on the day of judgment. Lots of people who are amir will become asir on the day of judgment. And lots of people who were asir in this world will become amir on that day. Isn't it right? So, no one has any izzat in the eye. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Quran says that all the izzat, certainly all the izzat belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Entire izzat is with Him. So anybody who is maintaining the obedience of Allah is the one who is mu'azzaz. Anybody who tries to gain izzat and respect by siding with the zalimeen, he is zaleel in the eyes. That's what Imam Ali alayhi salam say. In other words, you know, al-azizu indi zaleel hatta akhudh al-haqq minhu. Isn't it right? After the incident of all those zulm that happened and finally he became the Khalifa, he says, al-azizu indi zaleel. That means the honorable person of the society in my eyes is zaleel and insulted until I take away the right that he has usurped back from him. This is the adl of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's why people are fighting against Imam Ali. Although he was adil, but they did not like his adl. They wanted favors. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is also referring to the zulm and how he is ready to take care of those fake aziz people in the society, fakely respectable people of the society. That's what I meant. So we find that it's our responsibility, because the Day of Judgment, everyone who will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, including the prophets, the people will be saying, and the prophets will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi. That means everyone will be focused and worried about his own self on the Day of Judgment. The only prophet of God who will not say, Nafsi, Nafsi, when he's worried about his own self. Instead, he will say, Ummati, Ummati. He would be worried about his Ummat, nation. That would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't need to be worried about anyone, about anything, isn't that right? He has nothing to worry about. He is worried about his nation. He has nothing to be worried about himself. So, it is very important that we maintain good relations with the Ahlul Bayt. Instead of maintaining good relations with the Tawagheet, we maintain the good relations with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Let's join the winning team. If we are serious, let's join the winning team. So we find in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah sent the wahi to him to go in Egypt to such and such place, and there is a servant of ours who is showing, you know, strange behavior. Guide him towards us, and whatever hardship you face in that path, ignore that hardship for my sake. Please say salawat. Ignore that hardship for my sake. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he went there to that specified town and area, and he found this person who was one of the kuffar, one of the supporters of Fir'aun, worshipping Fir'aun for 200 years of his life, doing the ibadat of Fir'aun for the last 200 years of his life, doing this kufr and shirk. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked him, guided him towards Allah, and he started to talk bad against him. Hazrat Musa tolerated. Allah already asked him to tolerate the hardship, in other words, that he faces in this matter. So we find that Hazrat Musa said to him, since how long you have been worshipping Fir'aun? He said, 200 years. Musa alayhi salam said, you don't have neither the ni'mat of dunya nor the akhirat. So worship, come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will have the ni'mat of dunya and the uqba and the akhirat both. He started to think. Some of the time you find certain things click in your mind. We never know. We're never supposed to consider any of the people as hakir and lowly. La tuhakkiranna ahadam min al muslimin. The hadith says, don't consider none of the Muslims to be hakir and lowly. Fa inna saghirahum indallahi kabir. Their saghir is, in the eyes of Allah, is kabir. You never know. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding this kafir through Hazrat Musa alayhi salam after 200 years of shirk. So we find that he started to think. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, tafakkuru sa'atin, tafakkuru sa'atin, that means thinking for a while, khairun min ibadati sana. Thinking for a while is better than the ibadat and worship of 1 year. Some people do ibadat and worship with their jahl, without thinking, without having correct faham and understanding of Islamic values and principles. Piling up the ibadat with the jahl of the without learning the concepts and values properly. So if we think for a while, that short while of thinking is superior than praying or fasting or whatever ibadat you do for one full year. Some of the hadith say, some of the riwayat say, khairun min ibadat is sab'eena sana. Thinking for a while is better than the ibadat of 70 years. So even if it makes sense, even if the hadith had 70,000 years, it still makes sense. So what's the benefit of 70,000 years of ibadat when you, at the end of the day, you find all of them are batil? Isn't that right? Because you don't understand what you were supposed to do. So he thought for a while, and then he asked Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to present Islam to him, and he converted into Muslim. Please say salawat. Fir'aun get to know the news, called him to his darbar, and asked him to turn away from the God of Allah, of Musa, and come back towards him. And he rejected. He asked to bring some big bowl and put some oil in it. So I'll throw you in this burning oil. He rejected. He said, this body deserves nothing more, nothing better than this. This body which has worshipped you for 200 years, this body deserves to go in this fire. So he was taken by the people of Fir'aun to be thrown in the burning oil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him through Jibreel. Every time he was thrown, he was saved by Jibreel, brought back to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. It happened two times. For the third time, the narration says, he said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that, Ya Kareem Allah, there is no problem if I am thrown there. That means I am okay with that. He said, لا يجد المرء حلاوة الإيمان حتى يأتيه البلاء في كل مكان. A person does not taste the halawat and sweetness of iman until he gets surrounded from the bala. That's where you really taste the halawat of iman. That's where you give the talaq to this dunya, which causes all the sins. All the sins that people are doing is because they have some attachment towards this dunya, which will be detached at the time of death. Isn't that right? For the sake of dunya, they have been selling their values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt in the name of freedom and democracy. So we find that finally when he was thrown, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the burning oil, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam started to cry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him to look, and he started to look, and the doors of heaven were opened, and he looked, and he found that person enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting in there in the available in the paradise. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam became happy when he saw that. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats his beloved servants. So we find that one of the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beloved servants of Allah like this. They are always ready to embrace the shahadat fi sabilillah. I remember Imam Khomeini ridwanullah alayhi used to say that the religion which has the institution of shahadat and martyrdom can never be defeated by the enemies. Any religion which has the concept of shahadat alive is undefeatable. And that is so true. Our religion survived because of the shahadat. Isn't it right? Because they are shuhada. Shuhada'una ulama'una wa ta'rikhuna wa kullu amjadina. They are our great personalities. They are our history. The history of Islam is the history of shuhada. And they are the entire greatness that the religion Mazhab al-Tashayyu has is because of the shuhada. So all of the great personalities are shuhada. And every mahbub and beloved and every waliullah has to be shaheed. Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata shaheeda. Isn't that right? Anyone who dies in the love of Ahlul Bayt dies as shaheed. So we find that we need to make sure that we fall in the category of Awliya Allah. Just like we find in the time of, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this. Hazrat Muzahir alayhi salam, the father of Habib ibn Muzahir, he has raised his son in a way that whenever Habib ibn Muzahir is walking behind Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he is picking up the soil under the feet of Hussein ibn Ali and putting over his head every time, putting over his head. This is how his father has raised his son. And Prophet, when he saw the situation, he cannot resist the situation. He basically came to Habib ibn Muzahir. He showed his love towards Habib. So Habib ibn Muzahir is the Mahbub of Rasulullah. And he is also the Mahbub of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Because according to some of the narrations, the only person for whom Imam Hussein alayhi salam wrote this letter, min al Hussein ibn Ali, from Hussein son of Ali, ila Habib ibn Muzahir, to the Habib son of Muzahir. And he says that we are surrounded by the enemies. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam is in Karbala and Habib is in Kufa, Imam Hussein is sending letter to his old time friend and follower Habib ibn Muzahir al-Asadi. Look at how the son of Rasulullah is surrounded by those who are reading the Kalima and they claim to be Muslims. And Imam Hussein is surrounded by them. And he is now sending a letter. This is Imam Hussein does not stand in need of Habib ibn Muzahir. Habib ibn Muzahir stands in need of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his success. This is ihsan and man. This is a favor that Imam Hussein did on Habib. Imam Hussein is doing a favor on Habib to invite him. Habib is not doing a favor on Imam Hussein. Habib is doing a favor on his own nafs. To go and do the i'anat and support of Imam of his time. This is the biggest wajib in Islam, to support the Imam of your time. So he says in the letter that I am surrounded, in other words, I am surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. What is the relationship of Imam Hussein with Rasulullah? Isn't it right? Hussein minni wa ana min Hussein. That's the relationship between Imam Hussein and Rasulullah. Imam Hussein is from Rasulullah, and Rasulullah's risalat becomes alive through the walayat of Imam Hussein. If it was not the walayat of Imam Hussein, the risalat of Rasulullah cannot survive. The risalat of Quran cannot survive. The entire Sharia cannot survive without the walayat of Hussein ibn Ali. Hussein minni wa ana min Hussein. So, if you can come to join us, come. Habib Muzahir gets the letter, he became so happy that his Mawla has written a letter for him. What a great azamat and honor that Imam Hussein provides to this person. This is a greatness for Habib to receive a letter from the Mawla. And he comes inside, his wife is there, and she asks, what's the news? And she said that my Mawla Hussein ibn Ali has sent a letter for me. And she says, what's there in the letter? What did the Mawla say? She said, my Mawla is saying that I am surrounded by the enemies, in other words. And you know my relationship towards Rasulullah. If you can come to join us, come. And she says, what are you thinking about? He says, I'm thinking about you. That means if I go and support Imam Hussein, what is going to happen to you? Obviously, the Ziyad la'anatullah alayhi is there, and you people may be persecuted. Is that right? By the Tawhut. So I'm thinking about you. And she, some of the narration says, she took her chadar and she threw on the face of her husband and said that the son of Fatima to Zahra is calling you and you are thinking about me. If you don't go to help my Mawla, then I will go myself to support my Mawla. This is the azmat of these awliyaullah. These are the awliyaullah. Habib ibn Mubahir is one of the awliyaullah. That's how they are. They have no attachment with this dunya. They are attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt. So we find Habib gives his horse to his servant to wait at such and such location in the outskirts of Kufa. And when Habib ibn Mubahir got a little bit late in reaching that spot, obviously the whole city of Kufa was surrounded by the afraj, by the enemies, by the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad, so that no one can go. But those who are awliyaullah can still find a way to go. Where there is a will, there is a way. Isn't it right? So Habib ibn Mubahir, when he reached a little bit late and he reached that point, he saw that the ghulam, his servant, was talking to the horse and saying to the horse that if my master doesn't come to ride and go to support Imam Hussain alayhi salam, then I, don't worry, I will ride on you and I will go myself to sacrifice my life for my Mawla Hussain alayhi salam. Habib, when he saw that, he got so much disturbed. He said to Imam Hussain alayhi salam that Mawla, how much mazloom you are, that even the ghulam is ready to sacrifice his life on you. He says to his ghulam, but I set you free. But ghulam said, this is not insaf, because as long as I was in your service, you kept me. But now that you are going to the khidmat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, now you set me free? No, you have to take me along with you, so I can also sacrifice my life for my Mawla Hussain ibn Ali. So Habib takes his servant along with him. And we find in Karbala, my Mawla Imam Hussain alayhi salam is distributing the ra'yat, the flags among the followers. So one flag belongs to Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, one flag belongs to Zuhair, one flag belongs to Sa'id, one flag belongs to Muslim ibn Awsajah, and one flag he did not give to anybody. That flag was put in a separate spot. And when somebody asks Imam Hussain, you did not distribute this one flag to anybody. And he says, the one who deserves to get the flag is about to arrive. And they found the dust showing and Habib ibn Mubahir coming towards the khiyam of Mawla Hussain ibn Ali. They are how the awliyaullah are. They can never remain separated from their mahbub. So we find that the ashab of Imam Hussain are doing the istiqbal. They are welcoming Habib ibn Mubahir. And Hazrat Zainab, when she heard the news that somebody came, she sent Hazrat Fidda sallallahu alayha to go and find out who has arrived. Obviously she has been receiving the news that this army of Umar ibn Sa'd has arrived. Such and such army against Imam Hussain has arrived. But this time she wants to know who has come. So Hazrat Fidda sallallahu alayha, she came back and tells her that this is Habib ibn Mubahir, that old time, the child friend of Mawla Imam Hussain salam, in other words. So Hazrat Zainab says to her, go and say my salam to Habib. Hazrat Zainab is sending her salam. The daughter of Fatima al-Zahra is sending salam to Habib ibn Mubahir. Look at the azmat of Habib ibn Mubahir. And the narration says, when Habib receives the salam of Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayha, he sits on the maidan, on the ground of Karbala. He sits down and he puts the soil, the turbat, over his head. He said that what a time when my lady, she is sending salam on a servant like me.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the following marhumin: Wazir Haider and Rani Fatima and Dildar Haider and Sakina Batul. Surah Al-Fatiha for the ruh of Marhuma Sabiha Kazim Ali Yasin. Let's read the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح نبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله